Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Diva's Strategies for Success, where I get to be so excited every day when I have wonderful guests, and I have a fabulous guest today. Her name is Rosie Aiello. She is an MBA. She is an international award-winning entrepreneur, speaker, author, global women's empowerment, and transformation leader. Let me tell you a little bit about her. Rosie was trapped in an emotionally, mentally, and financially abusive relationship for nearly 25 years. She engineered an international escape from the Middle East to save her daughter and herself from domestic violence. Nearly mentally destroyed and stunned by PTSD, within a few short years after arriving back to her home state of California, she became a speaker, best-selling author, and an international award-winning entrepreneur. She holds certifications in neuro-linguistics programming, NLP, life coaching, executive coaching, and timeline dynamics, as well as holding an MBA in finance. Rosie and her daughter, Sunny, are authors of the upcoming mother-daughter memoir called 11 Hours to Freedom, where they share their journey of escape, freedom, and healing. They are now in a global movement to help save 1 million plus women and their children from this insidious abuse. 10% of earnings will go to helping domestically abused women and domestic violence organizations. They are also the co-founders of the Love is Kind Network and Facebook group, the Love is Kind Movement, because real life is kind, not terrorizing. It's not cruel, it's caring. It's not demeaning, it's uplifting. Rosie said, it's time to stop the terror that's destroying families and lives. They are on a mission to end family terrorism, because when women and children can break free of the shackles that bind them in abuse, they can live a happily, productive, and prosperous life. Rosie helps women who've experienced narcissistic, abusive, and controlling relationships how to find the kind of love of their lives. Some of her websites, if you go to the Love is Kind Movement, Time's Up on Domestic Violence and Family Terrorism, Love is Kind, Not Terrorizing, Be Kind to Children, the Love is Kind Network. And her website is www.thelovekindnetwork.com, and she has a podcast. So if you do www.thelovekindnetwork.com/podcast, you will get to her podcast. Welcome, Rosie. I'm so happy to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you, Robbie. It's such an honor, really. I'm just really thrilled to be with you here. Yeah, it's really great.
You know what? I'm just amazed at the work you do and the people you help. How did you find your passion for this work?
No, that's a good question. So you read in my bio that my daughter and I are still writing the memoir called 11 Hours to Freedom. So I'd been here for a few years in the United States, and I had gotten into productivity consulting, business consulting, because, well, you know, when you plan an escape, you kind of know you're pretty good. That was what I was good at, so that's what I started. However, when we started to write the memoir, everything inside me started to shift. And I will never forget this. So it was May of 2017, and I just got this calling. Actually, God was yelling at me. Let's just get it straight. He was really upset. And he goes, hey, and I'm going, because I was taking a break from writing. And he says, I chose you to help these women. And I'm going, look, I agreed to write the memoir. I didn't sign up for helping these women, And he goes, who do you think's going to win this argument? And I go, oh my God. I go, but who am I? Remember how many, so many women we go, who am I? And he goes, I chose you to lead these women. And that was the beginning. And I have to say I was highly resistant, but I think God's a little bit more powerful than me. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I agree.
And then as I started to shift and went through major, major transformation, it's like, of course he knew before me what I was going to be doing. And I am so driven on this. I am just driven that this is my mission, my passion, my absolute passion. And I won't stop. I just feel so happy to be able to do this work.
That's wonderful. Why did you name your business Love is Kind Network?
There are a lot of organizations and great organizations called the Domestic Violence Hotline is probably one of the major ones in the United States to help women who have been in abusive situations. And there are, in every single state, they have other organizations about ending abuse and California Society Against Domestic Violence. So for me, when I was naming it, it's like I was looking, what did I want? What was it that I was looking for? And I didn't really want to be looking for abuse. I wanted to be treated with kindness. And that's why I called it the Love is Kind Network. And that's loveiskindnetwork.com. And the inspiration behind all of that too was Mother Teresa. And it's not the exact quote, but it's, she said something to the effect that if you invite me to an anti-war rally, I will not be there. You invite me to a pro-peace rally, I will be there. And that's what I wanted. I wanted, let's move forward to what we want. Let's put our focus and energy there. And that's why I named it the Love is Kind Network. And
it's
moving forward
name.
On that. Thank you. Thank you. And you had mentioned, and what I've written, it's like, love, real love is kind, right? It's not cruel. It's not hurtful. It's compassionate. And those are the words I want people to grasp onto, what it really is. Yeah.
So what is your goal? What is the goal and mission for the Love is Kind Network?
Well, you had, you kind of briefed it in the bio when you read the bio, which is always astounding to me when I hear it, I tell you. And in the bio, it had a million. But truly, the goal is to reach and inspire and impact 100 million women with their children. Because I know once they can release themselves of the shackles of abuse, they can create a productive and prosperous and joyful life that they deserve. I know that. And the mission is to, when we lead with kindness, when we lead with love, when women start to learn about kindness that they deserve, we can create kinder intimate relationships. And when we can create a kinder intimate relationship, that creates a kinder family. And when we create a kinder family, we can create kinder communities and a kinder world. That's the whole mission behind this, is to create, really get to the root of it, and start with kindness there and have it grow.
So what are some of the challenges women face when leaving a narcissistic, controlling, or abusive relationship?
Well, they have quite a few challenges. I mean, a lot of the women that I've spoken to, literally all over the world, they're all smart women. So there's just so much confusion. Like, even after they've left, it's like, I can't believe I'm a smart woman. How could I have gotten myself into this? And so they're constantly, even after they leave, they're doubting themselves. They're putting themselves down. they feel stupid. They feel stupid. They're surrounded and loaded with shame, you know, that I should have, I could have, why didn't I kind of thinking. And because their brain, and it's all because their brain literally has been rewired, even if it's just been a short amount of time they have been with the person and have, but narcissism is so insidious, especially verbal abuse, emotional abuse, where it's not physical or sexual, even though that's still horrible. But with the verbal, it's kind of like, it's so subtle. You start to keep questioning, well, is this real? And you don't really know it. And it kind of just sucks you in and sucks you out. I mean, your soul just kind of gets ripped out of you and you don't know it until it's so late. I just experienced it with so many, you know, myself, but with my clients and with just conversations with women in this arena. So these are challenges but that doesn't mean they can't overcome them. I did, and a lot of my clients have, but not to put themselves down either. You know, so it's been really a really challenge for many women. So I just say, you're not stupid. Most women are very smart. They're smart and empathetic. And that's what these men kind of like, smart, empathetic women. But,
well,
yeah.
You know, the next question is, what is one of the biggest mistakes women do when moving forward? But I want to also throw something else in. Because we've had a situation within my own network where one of our members didn't even know her daughter was in an abusive relationship until, you know, the pandemic, and then it really blew up. And apparently it had been happening for a long time. And my second part of that is, from other things I've heard, why do sometimes women go and find the same kind of men? You know, they get out of that, but then it seems like they go back to the same kind of, the new person they meet probably has some of the same traits. So I was curious about those.
Yeah. So those are really good questions. So the first one about the pandemic one, or just the mother didn't know. This is so common. I was, you know, in the relationship for 25 years, Robbie. Nobody knew I was in that in that kind of a relationship until 18 years into marriage, and only because I got a book that described what it was. I didn't even know. So first of all, the woman could not know that she might not know that she's in an abusive relationship. To someone on the outside, may be shocking, but if you don't have the vocabulary for it, if you don't know what unhealthy characteristics are, which is something that I teach in my program, you know, if you don't know that, you just think that you're not good enough, because they make you feel that you're not good enough. And during the pandemic, because I've been following this a lot, this is, you know, my world, the worst thing is to be stuck all the time with your abuser. It's just horrible because there's no relief. And their personalities are, they usually have anger management problems as well. So that's part of it. Plus the daughter, if she knew, she was so filled with shame. Maybe society, oh, you know, you have to stay for the kids. You have to stay for the that's what we do. We stay for the marriage. Religion keeps them locked in. You know, I'm Catholic. I believe, you know, I thought, well, I need to do this, which is, you know, I tried, obviously. But all of these pressures are on her. And it takes a lot of courage to move out. And it's very, very difficult to do it on yourself, by yourself. I mean, my brother helped me. It's not like I had a whole team. My brother helped me, and another organization helped me, even though it was international. It's extremely powering. Now, the second question is, women kind of go back to these kinds of men. And that's where I really want to, you know, intercede. You know, that's the core work I do, is so that they don't. And why do they? Because if they haven't healed, if they haven't saw why they get into it, and remember I said how their mind is rewired, they don't know the difference. Brain will go back to what is comfortable for them. And the brain doesn't distinguish between good and bad. It just knows what it knows. So if it knows, oh, he puts you down, he insults you, he threatens you, maybe he hits you, okay, well, I know that. That seems normal. That's what the brain will think. And that's why they keep going back into these repetitive relationships. They have very little value for themselves. That's another reason why. So these are really important questions for women to understand. Again, they're not at fault, but you have to learn the strategies and the skills and practice them so you don't fall into that kind of relationship ever again. Or if you do, you start, because sometimes you may not see the signs right away, but you will see the signs pretty quickly. I think one of my superpowers is I can really pick out behavior patterns, and I can see it. And, you know, I've talked to so many women, yeah, he came back and he's really nice. And I know what they've told me before. And it's like, yeah, that's not going to work. And then either a few months later or a couple of years later, like in one case, they divorced, because these men cannot change. It's very, very few cases where they can. They have to want to change. As you know, Robbie, people change when they have created an awareness and they really want to, and they work at it. That's for all of us. I hope I answered those questions.
That's true. So what are three tips you can share with our listeners now?
There, you know, I have 11 that I focus on from the 11 freedom fulfillment pillars. And so I chose these three because they're all important, but these are, I think, some of the top ones. And that is really, really looking at your values, meaning what is important to you. I mean, I kind of, you know, like bobbed around in my whole life. You pick up a value here like you're picking up seashells, you know, from your family, from friends, from school, from work and religion and society. You just kind of pick them up. But I had never really looked at my values like, well, what's important to me? Like, how do I like to be treated? I just thought I had to accommodate everybody. We end up becoming people pleasers when you do that. But that's another topic. So really knowing what your values are, what is really important to you. And when you have that as a strong foundation, then you know how you want to be treated and how you don't want to be treated. But most women have never even looked at their values or challenged their values. They change over time. For sure, they change over time. You know, like when my daughter was little, my primary value was taking care of her. I don't have to do that now. She's an adult, right? So it, in that sense, it changes. But some of your core values will not. Like my primary value is kindness. It's kindness, and that's obviously very important to me. And so that's one. Another one is self-care. And it often just what I find overlooked, but it's such an important priority because women are used to being givers. But when you're in an abusive relationship, you're always at their beck and call. You're always being put down. You feel worthless. If you already had a little bit of doubt about your confidence and your worth, now after in the relationship, it's just compounded. And when you leave, you're just like almost like a zombie of being so sapped of your energy. And it's really the time to take care of yourself, but not just then, all the time. Because you're going to be a giver, we can only give when our cup is overflowing, because as soon as you start to give, that cup starts to empty. And if you're not constantly filling up that cup with some self-care, and remember, self-care is not selfish. It's hard for some women to really grasp that, oh, I can do that. I mean, I had to learn through so much that, oh, okay, I'm not going to get in trouble for doing something for myself. I can read a book. I can take a walk. I mean, it's pretty astounding that the path I've been on, but I know talking to my clients, this is the path that they go on too. This is huge doubt. So self-care is so important, and I have lots of examples that they can take from the freedom fulfillment pillars. So the third one is, I think very few people are aware of it and implement it, but it's almost the key one to save your sanity in any situation. And that is offering yourself self-compassion. compassion, being compassionate to yourself, saying, you know, I did the best I could with what I knew, you know, kind of goes under self-forgiveness as well, but also being compassionate with, I'm trying. I'm a human being. I make mistakes. I'm having a hard time right now. And just showing yourself some kindness, some compassion. That is so important to building up and stop putting yourself down. He puts you down. You're putting yourself down. Other people may be putting you down. Whatever. You're in a very weakened position. And just, you deserve this. You deserve to have some compassion. It's such a key strategy that not very many people know about, nor do they know how to implement it. So those are some of my top three that I wanted to share
with
you.
That sounds good. I understand you found the love of your life. How did you find your love of your life?
Yeah, I did. And I sound like a 16-year-old as soon as I start thinking about it. It's kind of funny. And I will tell, you know, your listener, so they kind of have a perspective on all of this. I escaped when I was 56 years old. I escaped when it was in 2009. It was in the middle of the Great Recession when I came back to the United States. So it was very, very challenging. I just couldn't walk into a job. So when I now been with him, so what, three years, a little over 3 years. And so what is that, 64, I think, 64, when I found him. So it can happen at one, it can happen at any time. But the how did I find him? Remember when I was telling you about Mother Teresa and I named the company what I was looking for? When I was first dating, and this is one of the biggest mistakes that women make, and this is, I made this mistake, okay, is one, you look at your past to determine your future, but on top of that, you don't look for what you want, but you look for what you don't want. So I was looking for, I don't want to be abused, I don't want to be controlled, I don't want this, I don't want that. So who do I get? People who were like that. That's why women fall back, okay? These are other, you're hearing a whole bunch of things going on here. So the moment, you know, doing all my work on myself, and the moment that I said, well, I want somebody who's kind to me. That's what I want. I swear, Robbie, when I made that shift, I mean, I had already been working with the Love is Kind movement stuff, but just the beginning, when I made that shift, within a month, I found him. And you know what his top priority was? Kindness. I swear, it was written in his profile. I mean, it was just amazing. And it has been, I mean, I experience, I would say, peace, love, and joy every day with him. I just, in the beginning, I wasn't ready to date seriously or to look for a long-term relationship. But I am so happy. We get along so well. And to be able to experience this kind of love really for the first time in my life is just, it's fabulous. And it can happen to other women too. When I first got out, I didn't even want to look at another man. And I remember with somebody a little bit further, you know, she goes, oh, you'll change. But it took me a while. But now I know how to short circuit that for women. So it doesn't take them as long as me.
That's great. So what is your favorite quote?
It's my own quote. And it's my favorite quote because it was really, you know, things that changed my life and helped really gain my freedom. And that is what I'd like to say it to your listeners. It's like, you deserve to be treated with kindness. And it starts by being kind to yourself.
That's great.
That is a quote. Thank you.
That, I mean, it's so true. And like you said before, sometimes we just don't take the time to do that. We are running around doing everything for everybody else, and we think that we don't deserve that. So that is great. I love that. So what song on your playlist gets you going and lifts you up no matter what?
Well, let's put this way. Anything by Alicia Keys gets me going. So I'm just in love with her. But I guess I would narrow it down to maybe Girl on Fire. Doesn't that sound like me?
Yeah, I like
right?
that.
I usually wear red.
Yeah.
So Yeah, I just she gets me going.
Yeah, that's good, and that's great. So what do you do for fun?
So again, you know, when you look at your life, and I told you I got here when I was like 56. I knew nothing about being an entrepreneur, absolutely nothing. So I took a class with my first coach. I thought, okay, I'm like a toddler in life now. I'm a toddler. And then as I started to have some experience, I got into being what I call an adolescent. Now I think I'm kind of like in my 20s. So with that kind of a mindset, I got my first wetsuit at 65, and I learned to boogie board. My sweetie taught me how to boogie board going into the ocean. So that's one of my favorite things I do now because I live near the ocean. So you can learn anything at any time in your life. And you're such a great inspiration for that. Who am I to talk? But I mean, it just shows you, right? And during the holidays, I make cookies. I'm Italian, so I make lots of Italian cookies and to share and have people over. And I make a gingerbread creation every year. I'm not sure I'll make one if no one can come over. It's a lot of work, but also a lot of fun. And I just, you know, just going out to meals and meeting with friends. I like to be with people, and I do it the best I can under the circumstances now.
Tell us a little bit about your podcast, and can people tune in on it, or do they have to sign up, or and anything you have coming up? We have about 3 minutes.
Oh yeah,
and how they can reach you as well,
Yes. Okay. Yeah. No, I'm really getting excited. Yeah. So the podcast is called Vulnerable to Valuable. I just love that because when we're in that stage, we're very vulnerable. And then as we heal, we become valuable. And I just love it. I teach. I do mini master classes. Plus, I interview amazing smart women who got sucked into a narcissistic relationship and then share their strategies and tips of how they moved out. So they can go to vulnerabletovaluable.com, just the name of the podcast, and that will get them linked up. They can join the mailing list to get updates on the podcast plus everything else from that link. The loveiskindnetwork.com. It's loveiskindnetwork.com. That's where they can also contact me, and I have other freebies. I've got a guidebook on how to constantly ask for what you want. I have a guidebook on the 11 freedom fulfillment pillars to help you reclaim your voice, your value, your confidence and courage. And you can, when you join, you can get a free copy of that. So it's just been, I'm just so excited to launch this podcast. I just launched it and I have many, many interviews lined up. And it's the same theme, Robbie. These are all really bright, intelligent women who are just whittled down until they reclaim their own lives. So it's been a really wonderful journey. Yeah, it is. It is.
And you said, I remember we still have about a minute. You said you do some classes. Are that website, is that where they're going to find the classes as well?
Yeah. Well, you know, this is a good question. So what I always advise people to do, they can go to, it's called freedomfulfillmentquiz.com. And then it takes them about, 4 minutes. And it's an assessment to see where they are and where they still need to go. And it's such an eye-opener. And from that, we can hop on a call one-to-one with me, and I'll take them through the quiz. So go to freedomfulfillmentquiz.com. That's also free. They're more than welcome to go there and just to assess, are these my experiences? Is this what I want to do? Is this what I'm good at? Is I need some shoring up here? And it's really an eye-opener. I love taking women through that quiz.
Well,
I think that would be really helpful.
It's been wonderful having you as my guest, and our time is up. It was great. And so thank you again, and keep doing the great work you're doing.
Oh, thank you. You're a wonderful interviewer, Robbie, and it's